Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Today is Legacy Sunday. Let me make sure you understand what today is. Just a few months ago, we received a $2 million matching gift. That means if today we receive $2 million in across all four of our campuses, we're all doing the same message, we all sing the same songs, we're all going to receive the same offering at the end. If we match that $2 million today, that means there's $4 million. Let me tell you what that means for you in particular. That means we're going to be moving into a brand new facility that's going to be pretty much paid for on day one when we first move in. It's going to finish the course, your new church. Can we give God praise for that? Yeah, I figured you'd be excited about that. And then we're also going to do other projects around that we've mentioned to you throughout this series. That's what legacy is. It's, as Pastor Jacob said, it's the future without you, still influenced by you. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Just as we prepare to receive our legacy gifts at the end of service, where we ask you to bring your one-time greatest gift that we can today so that we can match that $2 million so we can promote ourselves forward into the kingdom and what all God wants to do. How many of you remember the movie Hidden Figures that came out probably about 4 or 5 years ago about the three African-American women that were part of the NASA, the space race that was going between us and Russia, and they were a key part of that. I'm going to put a picture on the board, and some of you probably saw it, and you might have forgot the movie. You might remember these three ladies and the true story kind of behind the scenes of Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson, and Katherine Goebel. And they were serving in NASA back in the 60s, back when the civil unrest was going on. Three women that really left a legacy. And let me kind of identify with you of just exactly how they did this. These women were pioneers in science and math. In fact, they were called computers in the Black West Wing. Albert Einstein said this. He said, "The person who follows the crowd will usually go no further than the crowd. But the person who walks alone is likely to find himself in places that no one has been before." Miss Vaughan went on to become the first Black NASA supervisor in 1949. She made sure that everyone who was merited received promotions and favor regardless of the color of their skin. We owe a debt of gratitude to Mrs. Vaughan. Mrs. Johnson, she was responsible for trajectory analysis. She was the one that was responsible for making sure that the first astronauts could get back into the Earth's orbit safely and return home. In fact, on the second mission, even though computers were already figuring out the trajectory, John Glenn, the astronaut, was famous for looking and saying, "Hey, have that girl run the numbers again," because he didn't trust the computers. He wanted Miss Johnson to rerun the numbers to make sure they were correct so he could return home safely. But then there was Mary Jackson. She's probably one of my favorite. She was a part of the wind tunnel experiments, making sure that all went well for all the flights and the design of the space capsules. Her job was to extract the relevant data from experiments and flight tests. People saw her brilliance and really encouraged her to go on to get her engineering degree. But there was a few classes that she needed to finish in high school before the University of Virginia would accept her so she could become an engineer. Well, there was only one problem. She was Black. And the only way you could get the classes was if you attended the white school. And she couldn't get in to the white school. So she had to go before a judge to get an injunction in order for her to complete so she could become the engineer that she always wanted to be. I'd like to show you just a quick 2-minute clip of Hidden Figures where Miss Jackson walks into the courtroom to get that injunction. Pay attention to your screen.
We are rendering a great service to our nation. For this is not a struggle for ourselves alone. It is a struggle to save the soul of America.
Mary Jackson, petition to attend courses at Hampton High School.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Hampton High School is a white school, Mrs. Jackson.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm aware of that.
Virginia, still a segregated state, regardless of what the federal government says, regardless of what Supreme Court says, our law is the law.
Your Honor, if I may, I believe there are special circumstances to be considered.
What would warrant a colored woman attending a white school?
May I approach your bench, sir? Your Honor, you of all people should understand the importance of being first.
How's that, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, you were the first in your family to serve in the armed forces, U.S. Navy, the first to attend university, George Mason, and the first state judge to be recommissioned by three consecutive governors.
You've done some research.
Yes, sir.
What's the point?
The point is, Your Honor, no Negro woman in the state of Virginia has ever attended an all-white high school. It's unheard of.
Yeah, unheard of.
And before Alan Shepard sat on top of a rocket, no other American had ever touched space. And now he will forever be remembered as the U.S. Navy man from New Hampshire, the first to touch the stars. And I, sir, I plan on being an engineer at NASA. But I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first, which I can't do without you, sir. Your Honor, out of all the cases you're gonna hear today, which one is gonna matter 100 years from now? Which one is gonna make you the first?
Only the night classes, Mrs. Jackson.
Come on, put your hands together for Miss Mary Jackson. She had to be the first. That's a pioneer, to be the first that opens up the doorway for many to follow. We owe a debt of gratitude to Miss Mary Jackson, Mrs. Vaughn, and Mrs. Johnson. Mother Teresa said it this way, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." Pioneering, going before, to be the first, to leave a legacy. Pastor Jacob said that the future without you still being affected by you. That's what legacy is, as we come to every single year, the opportunity to leave a legacy. And what I love is Jesus has already set the example. He was already the pioneer that set it first before us. Jesus doesn't tell us to do what he first doesn't model for us. He's already done it. He was the first. And I'd like to give you just three thoughts this morning before we come together to receive our offering. Jesus was one. He was the first to forgive. He was the first to love. And he was the first to give. And today I just want to share those three thoughts with you today. Number one, we forgive because Jesus first forgave us. Anybody in here been forgiven? Can I get a witness in the room if you've ever been forgiven? Ephesians 4:2 says it this way, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." We can forgive today because we've been forgiven. Andy Stanley said it this way, "In the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another. Forgiveness doesn't even make sense to us until you've been forgiven. Let me say that again. Forgiveness, forgiving people, doesn't even make sense until you realize how much you've already been forgiven from God. Can I get an amen in the congregation? And so I want you to know, Jeremiah tells us there's none that's good, no, not one. It's not about being good enough. Can I just tell you something? Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Only those who've been forgiven. There was a Christian attorney who got back and started doing his books and realized that he had plenty of clients that were out there that had yet to pay their bill. And so he through prayer one day, he just felt like the Lord led him, and through his Bible reading, to release all of those who had outstanding bills to him that were 6 months and older. And so he put a certified letter together, and he sent the letter out to the 17 clients who had past due bills of 6 months or older. And he sent it. How many of you have ever received a certified letter? If you receive it, you have to sign for it before you can actually receive it. And little to his dismay, he wrote a letter in there forgiving them and canceling all of the debts that they owed him. And out of the 17, 16 of those letters were returned. 16 of them never opened, never looked at, never signed for, because the clients believed that the attorney was suing them for past due bills. Only one opened up, signed and opened up the letter to realize that his debt had been canceled. You know what Jesus did for us on the cross? He sent you a certified letter to release you from all of your past transgressions and sin, to relieve you, to let it go. All you have to do is receive the letter, open it up, sign for it so that you can receive this forgiveness. But many have gone by and never opened the letter, thinking God wanted something else from you, when all he really wanted to do was to love you and to forgive you. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Thank God for the letter he sent. It's called the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he sent you a letter. All you have to do is open it. Normally, I would do this at the end of service, but I'm going to do it today, this morning, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to give an invitation because I think Jesus is sending you a letter today. There's some in the room that you need to finally receive this letter. It's not about being good enough. There's none that's good, no, not one. It's not about your righteousness. The scripture says it's as filthy rags unto the Lord. It's not about how good you are. It's not about have you been christened or baptized. Can I tell you, christened or baptized won't get you to heaven, though you should do those things. You should. What gets us to heaven is that we've opened up the letter of forgiveness from God. We've asked. It's as easy as A, B, and C. A, just admit that you're a sinner. I'm sitting in a room of all pro professional Hall of Fame sinners. Look to your left. Now look to your right. That's a sinner. We're sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe. Not just say it, but you believe it, that Christ came and he wiped away every sin I've ever committed as if I've never committed any of them. That they're all done. He canceled the debt. I owe nothing. Nothing. I don't have to pay for anything. He came to pay for it for me. To take my guilt, my shame. My shame is not from God. To take the shame off of you and to forgive you of every past sin. And then see, confess. Just confess he's the Lord. Confess him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here today, he wants to send you this letter, but you gotta receive it. Today I want to pray for you. If you go, Pastor Yehu, I've never been forgiven. I've never been born again. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You have to be born again. You got to admit, you got to believe, and you got to confess. And if that's you today and you're ready to sign and open that letter of forgiveness, he's here. He's not here to hold it against you. He's here to forgive you. Christians, would you begin to pray? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room right now. If that's you today, say, Pastor Yehu, I need the forgiveness of God. I believe he came to take my guilt, sin, and shame, and I want to be born again today. I want to pray for you right now. All you have to do is simply raise your hand all over the building. I'm going to pray for you right now. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Thank you. I see it, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hold up high. 11. I see it in the balcony. Anymore. Anymore. 12. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Congregation, I want us to pray with each one of these. Come on, let's say this by faith. Pray it out loud together. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise for that today? Thank you, Jesus. So proud of you. So he came to forgive. Because he forgives us, he gives us the ability to forgive. But he also came as a pioneer to set the example. Number two, we love because he loved us first. Everybody say love. We love, that's what James 4:19 says. We love because he first loved us. That means, I love what Romans 5 and 8 says. It says, God put his love on the line. Put his love on the line for us by offering his son Jesus in a sacrificial death while we were no use whatever to him. He loved you first. You didn't find him. He found you. He's always been after you. He loved you first. He loved us when we were unlovable. He's motivated by love. In fact, the scripture lets us know that he is love. The reason why we can love, how many of you know, if you really want to see Opelousas change, it's not going to be changed by putting the right people in office. I wanted you to know that. It's going to be happen when people start really loving like Christ loved us. And we love changes. Love's the most powerful force in the universe, that we start loving. And so he comes, as a pastor, this has happened many times. A husband will come and say, I don't love my wife anymore. And I would say, the Bible tells you to love your wife. And says, well, I'm not in love with her anymore. Okay, well, then the Bible says to love one another. They're still one another. Well, I don't even like them anymore. Then the Bible also says to love your enemies. How many know love wins no matter what? It doesn't matter if they're your wife, you're not your wife, your spouse. It even says to love your enemies. We can love because he first loved us. Can I get an amen? Love wins. Thomas A. Kempis said, whoever loves much, does much. C.S. Lewis said, love is not an affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. And when I love, when I make that decision, it always brings about the right feelings. The right choice brings the right feelings. Not feelings won't always lead you to the right place. And I know I have some witnesses in the room for that. And so we see that he forgave first, so we forgive. He loved first, so we can love. And then thirdly, we give because he gave first. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says it this way, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, He became poor. We see that in Jesus as he walked this earth, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I don't know if you read this. It was a few weeks ago in a Houston newspaper that there was a fire alarm that went off at a Houston church. And the fire department came only to find that there was no fire there. And it was someone inside had called 911, and they had to go and break down a door that had automatic locks on. They found four men inside of the church, inside of a secret room, inside of the church where there were 100 gambling machines. Inside the church. I guess they figured there's a better way to accomplish the purposes of God, and that was to, how many of you know that's not a good decision? How many of you know that? Let me just tell you something about giving to God. You just gave and put it in the safest place it could possibly be. We shouldn't gamble with the resources that God gives. This is not about gambling. This is about putting it into the kingdom. If you want to see it protected and watched over and maybe even produce even more, it's by investing in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? Yeah, so you see, the kingdom giving is not a gamble. In fact, it's the wisest use of your resources. Look what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said, the measure of a life, after all, it's not its duration, but its donation. God gave his son. Jesus gave us life. And now we give our life. James Baldwin said it this way. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Heidi and I just got back off vacation with our family, and I was walking, and there was a father with his little 4-year-old son, and he says to his son, this is kind of sad, but it's almost kind of funny. He goes, look over there, son, look at that big blanking boat. To his 4-year-old, son, look at that big beep boat. I said, I can't wait till that kid goes back to school on Monday when the teacher says, what did y'all do? Oh, you should have seen this big beep boat. How many of you know children don't always listen, but they always imitate? There was something that we decided, Heidi and I, as a family growing up when our kids were small. We said, we always want to teach our children how to be givers, because they're going to imitate it. And I can say now, 20 plus years later, that watching our children imitate what they saw us do. Do you know the loudest messages you ever preach, Mom and Daddy, are not the things you say? It's the things you do. You can say, do as I say, not as I do. Oh, no, they're going to do as you do, not as you say. They're going to watch your life, and they want to do what you do. And I don't think there's a better way than for us, as we come down to the end of this legacy offering, this legacy time, to realize we're going to be able to give, to make a sacrifice, to show our children. Today's not even about us. Look right here. Today is not about us. It's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. It's about your great-grandchildren. It's watching them, that maybe one day they'll have the same testimony that you saw Pastor Jacob give in the video today. That they'll say, I saw Mom and Dad make sacrifices to advance the kingdom. And then maybe God will bless your children, that one day they may be building kingdom because they saw you sacrifice mowing the yard or serving on a dream team. They saw you, and because they saw you, they grow up and want to do the very same things, but at even greater measures. Do you receive that today? You sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Let me just take my time, and I want to make sure you understand exactly what we're going to do today. Jesus forgave us first so we could forgive. Jesus loved us first so that we could love. Jesus gave himself so that we could give. And today, we're going to do just that. We get to go first. We get to pioneer. We get to be Mary Jackson today. Provide an opportunity. Can you imagine? Do you know how many people, I met someone the other day that said this. I asked them in our community, when are you finally going to come to our church? When are you going to come visit? Finally. And they said, you know, I'm coming, Pastor. Can I be honest with you? I said, sure. I'm just waiting till y'all open that new building. I appreciate their honesty. The sad part is they weren't able to be there. You're opening up the door for that person to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You're opening up. You're Mary Jackson it through. How many Mary Jackson made a way that any black woman, red man, yellow man, brown man, no matter what color, could go and do whatever they feel like God called them to do? You get to pioneer. You get to pioneer. And so today, when you walked in today, you received this. We're going to bring our greatest one-time gift that we possibly can. We're all doing this together, all four campuses. We're going to be to celebrate our giving. So I want everyone to take your envelope today. Hold it in your hand. Even if you came today and you go, Pastor, I didn't realize I'm not ready today. I'm going to give you directions too. Hold it in your hand. I want you to take that envelope. And we have an opportunity of matching a $2 million matching gift, all four campuses together. And we're going to do this together today. Again, this is not your tithe, it's an offering. Beyond your tithe, we can all play a part. Look at me, look right here. There's no small part. There's no small part. If you're thinking, well, my part's not that big, it doesn't matter. No, it does. This is all of our loaves and fishes that we're bringing to God. And we're going to ask Him to take it and bless it so that we can reach further in the kingdom in our region. Any of you here, if you're a single mom, go, I don't have much. No, don't miss this opportunity. Your much may be greater than somebody else's much. You don't think it doesn't matter. Every single gift matters. And we're going to just, in the right-hand box, you're just going to write today. Heidi and I did it at the 8 o'clock service. We wrote our biggest check we possibly could today. We wrote it in there, and then we brought it to the front in just a moment. But if you're here today, you go, Pastor, I wasn't ready today. Here's what I want you to do. You can do this. If you can write, I would like to give X, you can write in there that number. And you can just write in the box, I owe you, not me. You just write it in there. I'm going to give it. I just can't give it today. I want to give this much. God's already spoken to your heart, given you a number. Just write, I owe you. Last year, let me tell you what happened. Almost every one of the IOUs came in. We're not going to call you. I'm not going to send you a letter. It's just, this is between you and God. You go, God, this is what I believe you want me to give, and I'm going to give it. Someone asked me in the earlier service, how much time do I have? And I think we're talking about 30, 60 days. If you go, I can get this in the next 30, 60 days. It's just an IOU today. This is what I want to give. All of us together, our little loaves and fishes, we're going to feed a lot of people in our community the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet. Take your envelope. Everybody's got an envelope. Family, every family's got an envelope. We're going to receive communion together. Communion is the greatest example of forgiveness because of the cross, of love, how much He loved, and how much He gave. He gave it all. It's a reminder to us. So we're going to open up the communion table in just a moment. You take your envelope, and when the ushers direct you down to receive from the communion table, you can bring that envelope. You may have got your check in there, that's fine. And you can just drop that in the basket. It may just be an IOU, that's fine. You can just drop that in the basket. take a piece of the bread. You can dip that, and then we will receive the bread right there, and we're going to continue. Don't leave. I want you to go back to your seats. I'm going to give you one last thought, and then I'll dismiss you. But today's the day of legacy. Father, we pray today. We're trusting in you that your Holy Spirit's already spoken to our hearts. Father, what we are to give to advance the kingdom. You forgave first, we forgive. You love first, we love. You gave first, we give. And so today, what an honor it is to make a sacrifice for your kingdom. You provided it all anyway. It all came from you. And what a privilege it is to give it back to you today. We thank you. We receive from this table today, rejoicing in what all you've done for us. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is now open. The ushers will direct you. Let's continue our praise and worship.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, please visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.